Welcome to Eagles Way Church. I'm going to take you through a little bit of a home, not home movie, but home picture things, because if you'll bear with me for about 2 or 3 minutes, I want to take you on a little journey about being intentional. So Jason, if you'll put my first picture up, this is where I just came from, me and Joey and David Hitson. And we're standing actually on the top of a mountain. Go on to the next picture there. You have to get up on the top of the mountain to see this view. You can see the tops of the mountains, but if you want to see the top of a mountain from another mountaintop, you got to go to that mountaintop. Go on to the next picture there, and the next one. And that's 12,000 feet. That sign, if you'll go to the next picture, you can read that. It says, Cooper's High Alpine. It's beautiful and mystique, legendary and humbling. At above 12,000 feet, you'll find rugged terrain with trees, steeps, and chutes that demand respect. Pay attention to changing weather, changing and unpredictable weather. Be conscious of your surroundings, know your ability, and enjoy your snow riding. And that's where we were. We were on the mountaintop. But to get up there, you had to intentionally want to go up there. The lift at the bottom said, but there was a sign down there that said, no beginner terrain. You had to ski 2 black diamonds to come down off of that. So getting up there, you had to train, you had to learn, you had to get to that point. Now, for me, that's a big deal because I didn't grow up around the snow like the tackles did, I'm not super athlete like Will is. So I had to work at it, took lessons. Every year for a number of years took lessons. I finally got to the point where I can go to that mountaintop. And, I found a treasure up there. It was an intentional effort to get up there and see that treasure. Matthew 13:44 is a little one-verse parable, and it says that a man found a treasure in a field, and he sold everything he had to go buy that field. This is the kind of treasure that I sold my stuff. I bought all the ski stuff and everything. I ended up there, but there's a different kind of spiritual treasure that we can get, and it's really just entering in intentionally into what God has for us. And Revelation 4, chapter 1, talks about John's there. And he sees heaven open up, and God says, come on up. And you know what? John went up into the Spirit. And he was there, and he saw everything from God's perspective. He was standing there up in heaven looking down and seeing things from God's perspective. And that's what we can do. And all we have to do is be intentional about it. And in the same way I was intentional about going up on the mountain there, you can be intentional about entering into praise and worship. John said he was a beloved disciple. Who told him he was a beloved disciple? Jesus told him, yeah, but Jesus probably told everybody else too. I love you. I love you. He told himself. He says, I'm the beloved disciple, and he believed it. Intentional Christianity, and that's what the message is. So enter in with us now to praise and worship, and let's enter in intentionally.
Thank you. everything I love. Sing Hosanna.
Out on me.
it's your love. Ooh. God, I'm filled with thankfulness today. And the feeling of overwhelmness that he, when you feel him, my heart just explodes. And those moments when you can truly, truly feel heaven on earth, that's real, and that's why we're here, because Dusty reminds us all the time that we have everything we need in us. His power is in us. We have access to God's wisdom. We have access to his love, to feel his peace and his comfort. And when we are full of him, just the gates that open and the floods that come in to where we really get a taste.
Right.
Just a taste. We
right.
still can't understand it. We're singing a new song today, and when I heard it for the first time, I physically fell to my knees just in awe and wonderment that I have no idea what 1,000 years with one day is going to feel like with God, and that one day is 1,000 years. That's what his word tells us. And one day in his courts is better than 1,000 here. And I'm so thankful that we have that while we're here. God is in us, and just to feel his presence every day, with no matter what's going on, he is constant, he is there, he never changes, and we get to feel that any moment. We just have to acknowledge that he's here. So this morning, I want you to do whatever you need to do. Close your eyes, come up front, go to the back, to block out the world so that you can ask him to give you a taste, just a taste of what it feels like to feel the floods of his grace and mercy and his love.
Father, we come, so far.
Good you are. Father, you are so good, Lord, to make us right standing with you every single day, because every single day your mercies are new and you make me new and he makes you new. And I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you thankful for that? Isn't he so good? He's so good. And that we can come into his presence this morning and not feel ashamed and not feel dirty and not feel unworthy, but all we can feel is whole and righteous and worthy because he's made you that way. There's nothing you have done or could ever do, nothing you could say or even think that will make you unworthy of his love. And that's because of the blood of Jesus that flowed for you and for me. And so as we sing this old ancient song, I pray that you sing it even with a greater gratitude that you were clean and you were whole because of his blood. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's a new day. His mercies are new. He loves you, and he wants to lavish his love on you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you. we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we sing, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, Father, to be in your house, Lord, to enter into your presence, God, Lord, and to experience, Lord, that taste of eternity, Lord, every single day. And we glorify you, Lord, and we honor you. And everyone says, amen. You may be seated.
As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes, offerings, and alms, isn't it good to be in the presence of God? Man, it's so good. So good. A lot of important information is in your bulletin. One of those is a connection card that we'd just like to have a record of your visit. If you're visiting, for sure an email address will allow us just to shoot you an email and see if there's anything we can do to be of more service to you. If you're a member, just know that you were here. And if there's prayer requests or those type of things, you can put all of that information on that card and drop it in that bucket. I am still in need of about 8 to 10 pots of chili for March 8th. So if you are interested in making a pot of chili for our chili cook-off. We'd love for you to be a part of that. There's a sign-up sheet out there. And then also this Wednesday is the deadline for One Harvest Food Ministry, something that is done every month. You may or may not be aware of that, but One Harvest Food Ministry is a way that you can stretch your grocery budget. It is for anyone, or we also have quite a few people that buy a box to be donated to someone who is in need. So that is an option that you can do. But a $35 box gives about $70 worth of food that month. So let's pray and bless this. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can worship you. Give of the first fruits, Father, Lord, our tithes, our offerings, our alms to you. Thank you for your faithfulness to rebuke the devourer in our case. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Well, good morning. How's everybody? Look good. I had a little change in my message this morning. As Ken was sharing that, I'll get to that in a few minutes. But gave me a passage of scripture that about mountains. And you have to be, and we're in this new series called Intentional. And let me just back up for a moment and say a couple of things about the word intentional. Because we're having to change some things that we used to say. I even caught myself saying this week, I had good intentions. And an intention is a resolve, a desire to get the result that you want. And if you really intend to do it, you do it. If you really intend, there's an old saying, hell is paved with the road of good intentions. That's not true. It's paved with the road of no intentions. And to get anywhere, to accomplish anything, we have to be intentional about it. Jesus said that no man intendeth to build a house doesn't make sure that he has what he needs to build the house. No man goes to war who's intending to go to war. He's not going to go to war unless he knows he has enough army with him. He has enough men to win the battle. And so intentional means that I'm going to do what I need to do to get to where I need to get. So the title of this week is Intentional with Our Words. But that's the last part of this, intentional with our words, or you could say intentional with what I say. But before you can actually be intentional about your words, two things precede your speaking. Two things always precede your speaking. The first thing is you're intentional with what you read, or what you see, or what you hear. Because what you read and what you see and what you hear determines what you think. And what you think determines what you say. And so I've got to be very intentional with what we read. Joshua 1:8 said, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. There's a key word in there, and the word is meditate. I want you to say that word with me, meditate. Now, we live in the country that sometimes we don't like to, we hear people saying that they meditate, and we take the word meditation to mean something that is maybe not quite right. But meditation is a great word. You're doing one of two things all the time. You ready? You're meditating or you're murmuring. Meditation and murmuring are real close. Meditation is that I am meditating on good things. I'm meditating on the law. I'm meditating on the Word of God. And as I'm meditating, I'm just meditating. Murmuring is real close because murmuring is a meditation, but it's a... Why does people go... I tell you why they're thinking about something bad. They're thinking about something they ought to not be thinking about. And when you don't meditate on what's proper and what's right and what's good, you're going to murmur. And so three things I believe about meditation, what I read and what I see and what I hear. Is it true? Is it uplifting? And is it helpful? Is it true? Is it uplifting? And is it helpful? You know, I'm a Facebook stalker, Dusty says, that I don't post much, but I go on there and I see a lot of good things. But I won't befriend, defriend, or whatever you do, unfriend anybody, because I don't want to hurt their feelings. But if I see a post that's critical or judgmental about anything, I don't read it. I am not going to read anything that's critical or judgmental. And you can tell by where it starts. Now, there's some I don't even look at what they're about to post because I know it's judgmental and I know it's critical, so I just roll on by. I'm not going to put in my mind those kind of things. I'm not going to watch certain news programs. Yeah, all I can do is vote and pray for my country. And so, therefore, I am not going to put in my head what a lot of stuff that's even on news programs is just negative and critical and judgmental. It's not helping anything. It's not helping anybody. Okay. So, I have to determine every day what I'm going to listen to, what I'm going to read, and what I'm going to hear, and put myself in that place. Is it helpful? You know, I was reading Acts chapter 3 this week, and when Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and there was a crippled man, and he was sitting at the gate of the temple, and he was collecting alms. The only way he could make a living is people come by and give him alms. And so as he was sitting there, Peter and John goes, and the Bible says he fixed his eyes on him. That's intentional. He didn't just glance at him. He fixed his eyes on him. And he looked at him and he said, "Silver and gold, we don't have any. But what we do have, we're going to give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." But the next phrase is the most important. And Peter reached down and helped him up. See, we're here to help people up. It's not enough to say, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." The Bible says if we love in word only, it's not going to happen. We have to love in deed and in truth. Had Peter not reached down to help him up, he would have never walked. He'd have never walked. That's just a little extra I just threw in. All right, number two, intentional with our thoughts. And then he added, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil," what? Okay, "from the thoughts is sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They're what defile you." Now, everything starts with the thought. Nothing can happen without a thought. Adultery is not going to happen without a thought. Greed's not coming without a thought. Deceit, lustful desires, envy, all these things come because of what we're thinking about. And so he says we've got to be intentional about what's going on, what our thought process is. And so this scripture came to me out of Numbers as Ken was sharing and talked about the children of Israel came to the promised land. And Moses sent in 12 spies. I say you know the story. You may not know the story. Let's pretend like you don't know the story. And he says, "We entered the land you sent us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces." And they showed him. He said, "Wow, look at all this fruit. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live at the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. All the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it." Now, why the same guys are seeing the same thing? But some of them are thinking about it. Their perspective of it is totally different. Right. Their perspective is, They're too big. Caleb's perspective is, we can do it. We can conquer the land. But, here's another but, the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live. He's talking about a land that God had promised Abraham. He's talking about a land that God had promised them for years and years and years. And yet, they're saying about this land will destroy us. How many know that God's not going to do anything that will destroy you? He's not going to give you any promise that will bring you harm. He said, all the people we saw are huge. We saw even giants there, the descendants of Anak again. Next to them, now listen, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Why did they think that? Because they thought that. Whatever we think, you know, I jotted down a few things, some obstacles to positive thinking. And I have to reemphasize this because it's so important. I thought years ago I was a positive person, and I realized I wasn't as positive as I thought I was. I wasn't negative, but I just wasn't positive either. I was just in the neutral zone. And the neutral zone is not where God wants. To be positive means you got to be positive. You got to think that way. And here's some obstacles to thinking positively. Thinking about what's missing in my life. Thinking about what I don't have. Well, replace that with, I intend to have abundance. I'm going to think about not what I don't have. I'm going to think about what I have, and I'm going to think about what I'm going to have. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Think, if you think about the circumstances of your life, shift from thinking on what you don't want in your life to what you do want. All the mental energy you spend complaining about what is only a magnet attracting more of what is. Thinking about what always has been. Shift from thinking on what has been to what you intend. Thinking about what others want for me to thinking about what do I want? You know, I found that, and this is, I hadn't given you a Buddhism in a long time. I'm going to give you a Buddhism. A Buddhism is the people that usually try to influence you and to get you to want what they want you to want or to do what they want you to do is usually family. Struck a note somewhere. And the thing with family's got to get to the place. You know, the Bible, you got to let them grow up. And once they grow up, then they have their own life, and they need to live their own life. And family really needs to go at a certain place. Family has to turn into friendship. Because, well, you know what? A friend, my friends never ask of me anything, try to make me anything other than I am. I don't know who needed that, but you got it. One more scripture about thoughts. Psalms 139. I use this psalm every time I dedicate a child, and you'll see in a minute why. But I want you to, there's a shift in this psalm that happens that is, well, let's just get to it. Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. That's good stuff, isn't it? It keeps on being good stuff. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are the same to you. Wow, he's just saying, you can't get away from me. No matter where you are, you can't get away from me. Somebody says, I'm going to run. You can't run from God. This right here is very clear. Jonah thought he was going to run from God. He saw God in the water. He saw God in the fish. He heard God in the fish's belly. God was in the fish's belly with him. He heard God there. And so he goes on and he says, next section. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. And how many know that all of his thoughts are good thoughts? So I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. When I wake up, you're still with me. Now I want you to watch this shift. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. Where's he coming from? He's talking about how wonderful God is and how God loves him and how God has saw him in his mother's womb, how all his thoughts toward him are precious and they outnumber the sands of the sea. And then all of a sudden David has a glitch, it appears. What happened, David? See, I never get to that part when I'm dedicating babies because, well, that would be, you know, what after I dedicated that and I said, oh God, destroy the wicked, get out of my sight, you murderers. Boy, you say, whoa, that baby doesn't want to be prayed over like that. But then he says, they blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with a total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Why, David, did you go to sleep with this other part and wake up with this part? You know, what happened? Did somebody make you mad? No. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious what? Point out everything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. He says, God, in other words, I'm going to paraphrase it. I want your thoughts about me to be my thoughts about me. I want these murderous thoughts in my head that are telling me who I'm not and telling me that I can't do this and I can't do that and I'm sorry and I'm this and I'm that. I want you to kill those men, kill those thoughts in my head. They're murderers. They're murdering my life. They're destroying me. And see, you think, well, thoughts are just thoughts. You know what? Why important thoughts are? Listen, your thoughts are more important than what you say. Because what you say is what you think, for number one. You know, you've heard, they speak before they think. You can't speak before you think. It's impossible. That's a cop-out for after. I didn't think about that before I said it. Yeah, you did. You had to formulate those words in your mind. You could not have spoken unless you had thought it. The other thing is, 80% of your thoughts, you never say. You never speak 80% of your thoughts. Wow. What I'm thinking about is everything. What I'm meditating on is everything. And then he gets to intentional now with what I say. Why can I be intentional with what I say now? Because of what I've read, what I've heard, and what I've thought about. And then this wonderful passage of Scripture that we all just love, don't we? Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. I've always loved that Scripture. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want it by means of a small bit in his mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, and even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue's a small thing. It makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness. It's corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, but it is set on fire of hell itself. Wow. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, every time I open my mouth and I speak, I'm doing one of two things. I'm creating or destroying. I'm creating or destroying. Now, understand what when I say creating, when God created everything he created, what did he say at the end of it? It's good. The only thing that God allows the power and the ability to create in your life is good. You can create it, or you can destroy. And he uses five principles, and I think it's in your bulletin, in the back of your bulletin. It's five things he says the tongue is. He said it's like a bit in a horse's mouth. Controls that horse. That little bit controls that horse. I was, you know, a while back when the kids had a couple of horses and Anna would get on this big old white horse. I mean, huge horse. Scared me. I mean, I couldn't stand watching her ride that horse. It just scared me. But on that big old horse, and here's this little girl, little bitty girl, just guiding that horse with that bit. Small thing. He said it's a like a ship's rudder. Wherever you turn it, that's where it goes. Now watch this. This is so simple that it's so profound. Where I'm going is what I'm saying. What I'm speaking is the direction I'm going. What I'm thinking is where I'm going. What I'm saying is the direction I'm going. He said it's like a ship's rudder. It's like a bit in a horse's mouth. He said it's a destructive fire. You know, there's not anything probably more devastating to look at and to go and see where a field has burned up or a town has burned up. Any kind of fire destruction is a horrible, horrible thing to look at. He said it's like, fourthly, a world of wickedness. Now, every time we hear the word wickedness, most of the time probably you think it's just something horrible, 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 horrible. The world of wickedness, the world is cosmos, and it's the world without God. It's the part of the body which is without God. It's the part of the thinking process of our life that's not godly. It's a world of wickedness. That's all it is. And he says, and it sets your whole life on fire. It sets your whole life on fire. Kitty, everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, and the old King James and sets the whole life on fire says that we're on this wheel of becoming. Wheel of becoming. And if you will imagine a wheel, your life is a wheel going down the road. And you're on this wheel of becoming, you're on a journey. You're on a destination. You're headed somewhere. On that wheel, sometimes in your life, that wheel's up here. Right? Sometimes life's better than other times. I don't know if you found in this life, but I found sometimes my life's better than at other times. It is. There's just days that's better. Yeah. So things happen. And sometimes my life is up here, and sometimes it's about right here, and sometimes it's about right here, and sometimes it gets down here. And on this wheel of becoming, is what happens down here is the determining factor. That I'm going to make sure that in this life, I'm not only going to come here on Sunday mornings and hear this, listen to this, I'm going to apply it to my life. It's easy to apply when all is well. It's easy to apply good thoughts and positive words when everything's good. No, anybody can do that. It's different when things aren't. And that's where the wheel of becoming really becomes the wheel of becoming. What am I going to do at that moment? You know, Calvin, I really appreciate what's going on in your life and how you were obedient to God and went on a journey that you didn't want to go on, but you went on it. And then you got disappointed somewhere else. But you kept the right attitude and the right thoughts. And then out of nowhere, but out of somewhere, out of God's where, came the answer to your prayer. Because you decided that my wheel of becoming is on the bottom right now. But that's not where I'm going to be. He's got something better for me. Wow. He's got something better for me. You know, Doug, this is one of my favorite scriptures, is that he'll restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. And the Lord just wants you to know that the good things is happening in your life right now, and all that's going on, and the changes that are made, that the process is going. And when those thoughts come up to you, and they will, and they probably already have, and you used to sing them old gospel songs, and there used to be one where you get people at the altar, man, by the dozens. It was precious memories, or wasted years. Remember that? Wasted years. Oh, how they linger. And we'd get people say, but you know, you don't have any wasted years. God wants you to know He restores not just everything. He'll restore the years the cankerworm hath eaten. It doesn't matter what age you are, what time of life that you're in. You see, this same Caleb, when he said, we can conquer this land, we can take this land, that same Caleb, later on, it was probably about 40 years later, and I think he was 80 years old, and he walked up to Joshua and said, give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. I have endured. I have persevered. I was intentional with this thing. And I want you to know today, I want my mountain. And guess what? He got his mountain because he persevered and he was intentional about it. And he said, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to press through. It may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Seven times in a day a man may fall, but a righteous man will get up every time. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise again. And though there be no herds in the stall, and there's no oil on the vine, and the barn may be empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God, for he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he'll cause me to walk in my high places. Why? Because I'm intentional about my life, and I'm going to see the good end and the good result of what transpires and what happens. God is good. But I got to read right. I got to think right. I got to see right. I got to hear right. Because those things will affect your life. I want to be a creator and not a destroyer. I want to be a creator, a blesser. He has blessed me, and his thoughts towards me are nothing but good and holy and righteous. You know, I missed it last week, Barbara, because at the end I felt to prophesy over you. And you're all right. You're healed in the name of Jesus. Everything's good, and everything's going to be good. And, you know, we went to get some blood report this week, and I talked to the doctor a couple of weeks ago, and he said our enzymes are still way up. But he didn't give me the flip side of it, because when I went and got the blood work, the other day, they were 50% down from where they were up. Sometimes you get the wrong report. Sometimes you got to flip it over and say, what's the good part of it? Now, that's still bad, but there's something good too. See, we can always find good if we look for it, and we can always find bad if we look for it. And I want you to stand with me this morning, because today's the second Sunday in the month, and we have the sacrament of healing. And there's two things I really want to focus on this morning. Two aspects of healing. In Isaiah 53, beautiful prophetic scripture about Christ. And he's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement by peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. But before he said that, he said this: surely I've borne your sorrows, I've carried your griefs. Man, he's not just a God who wants to heal a physical body. Oh, that's great. But he's a God that says, I'll take your sorrows and I'll take your griefs. I'll take your disappointments. I'll take those things and turn them around for you. And the chastisement of my peace will rest upon you. If you're here today and you could be honest with yourself and say, I want this. I want to turn from being those spies who see the bad. I want to be the spy who sees the good. I want to change my perspective on life. I want to change my perspective on how I view things, how I see it, how I think it. I want to change that. And if there's a grief in your life or sorrow in your life, and you want to see that grief and that sorrow turned around, I want you to come and just stand across the front here. And some other people are going to come, and we're going to pray, and we're going to commit this to God, and we're going to speak creative words over that and not destructive words. The blessings of God over it and not anything other than that. God wants the best for you.
As I look at the people up here and while they continue to pray, I'm reminded of the woman who had the issue. And it's gotten to the point where she had done everything she could do on her own. And she went up in the midst of a crowd and did what women absolutely were not supposed to do in that day. It was touch a man. It was forbidden. But she was at the end of her rope. And she had done all she could do. And she clung to him so much so that facing this way, he realized power had flowed out from him. And that's what this is. It's people grasping onto Jesus in the flesh here. But sometimes people grow up in families where they just didn't talk about it. It's easier to ignore it, pretend it didn't happen, and you certainly didn't air it in public. And a lot of times that prevents people from coming down. And maybe you're sitting there today and you want to come up, but that's just not something you do. Know this, God will find you and he will love on you where you are, in your chair, in a place where you feel like you can't reach out. God will reach out to you, and he is finding you even now in the depth of your place, of your despair, of your issue. God is loving on you where you are.
Amen. I'll say a couple of things to you. Years ago, this church has always been really a church with a positive perspective, but years ago it really made a turn to make that a key statement of ours, church with a positive perspective. And over the last 3 or 4 years, it's just really been heightened. And I want you to know as a church, because I want you to know this is, we're a body. We're members of each other. And what is my vision is your vision. Ours, it's our vision. It's not mine. It's not Ralph's. It's ours.
Right.
And this thing is serious.
Sir.
And this thing is good.
Sir.
And I want you to know as a church, we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this.
Yes, sir.
We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Our purpose, what God has intended, is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
And we can't over-D you on this. You're not going to overdose on us talking about thinking right, speaking right. You're not going to OD on that. You can OD on a lot of stuff. You won't OD on this. You can't get enough of this. I can't get enough of this. I can't get enough of it. You can't get enough of it. Joey Grubbs has been sharing. First time the man has ever shared in public forum in the church that I know of. And we got one more week, and spoken 5 weeks on just stuff we're talking about, and just go online, hear what this guy said about it. In 2 weeks, we start the School of Positive Thinking again for the second annual year. I'm believing this place is going to be full on Wednesday nights, really, and because it's almost full last year. And so we're going to keep putting this stuff out. We're going to keep talking about it because we keep seeing the testimonies that come out of it. Because I have seen, let me just tell you personally as your pastor, I have been more fulfilled. This place isn't full. That doesn't bug me. That used to bug me. That don't bug me anymore. That just don't bug me no more. Really doesn't. I've seen more people's individual lives transformed in the last 3 years than I've ever seen. That's been the most fulfilling thing in my life than anything. When I see the testimonies, when I see the post, when I hear the words, when I see the countenance, when I see the demeanor, when I see the heads lifted up and the face shining, that's everything. That means more than anything else in the world. I love it when the vaccination takes. passing a long time, giving a lot of shots. And sometimes they just, why doesn't it take? Why does it take and this person doesn't take and this person? I know. What you think about it. What you believe about it. Amen. I'm glad you came. I'm glad I'm here. You're here for a real divine purpose today. I don't know all of you, but it was destined by God that you be here today. He purposed you to be here. You needed to be here. God's putting you on a journey. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Sing us out of here.
All right.
Yeah.
share that with you this week. Be blessed. Be loved. Amen.